You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. My name is Jason Rolison of PiratesBreakdown.com fame and some other places as well. And with me is Alex Stumpf. Alex is with PittsburghSportsReport.com, ThePointOfPittsburgh.com. Writes for Sporting News and for us at LockedOnPirates.com as well. So, Alex, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I finagled a night off before this rainout, so I didn't have to sit at the ballpark. It's been a good night, I guess you could say.
Well, good. I'm glad you can get some rest. And let me ask you this before we get started. This is a mailbag episode, by the way. We figured with the rain delay, you know, everyone's geared up to watch Pirates baseball. Why not have everyone talk about Pirates baseball? So we put out a call on our Facebook and on Twitter at Locked On Pirates for your questions. A good way to pass the rained out night. But before we do that, Alex, I'm just curious, what's your usual routine when you're in a rain delay, when you're in the press box?
I actually, if I'm working on something, you know, I'll get to a good breaking point. But I usually just go on Netflix and I have a show every season that I watched during the rain delay. Like, the first season was Hannibal that I was in the press box. Second season was, what was second season? Breaking Bad. And then it was Stranger Things last year. So I don't have one for this year. I really don't know what it should be. I was thinking maybe go real old school and finally catch up on some classic Star Treks. Since I've, you know, loving the movies, but haven't watched a TV show. Just fully embrace, you know, my nerdiness from now on. Or so I guess I should. That's my mailbag to everyone else. What should my show be for this season? Because I might have weaseled out on one rain delay, but there are more coming.
So I think what we'll do is, well, if you have a suggestion for Alex, tweet him at Alex J. Stumpf, S-T-U-M-P-F, or us at Locked On Pirates. We'll be happy to pass that on. The stranger, the better. The more obscure, the better.
So let's just make it on Netflix. That's my one rule.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we've gathered a few questions, and so there's two of us here. I'll take a turn asking Alex one of our questions from you guys, and he'll ask me a question, and hilarity will hopefully ensue. So I'll get started. This first question is from Howie D, and it's for Alex, of course. When does Nick Kingham realistically come into play as joining this 25-man roster?
Well, with a doubleheader, I guess you could theoretically say the day that people are listening to this, but I doubt it. It's anytime soon for no other reason than there are a lot of pitching options right now. Musgrove is finally rehabbing, so Brault will be back into that no man's land of middle relief, maybe a lefty relief pitcher that they were planning for him at the beginning of the year. So unless there are a couple injuries stacked on top of each other, I don't see Nick Kingham being anything more than like the seventh or eighth option, which still could happen. Last year was a very strange circumstance for the Pirates where they only had seven different starters throughout the entire season, which is, I think, the lowest in Pirates for the Pirates over the last 50 or so years. If it's not the lowest, it's darn near close to the lowest. You can't have much fewer than seven, especially with a five-man rotation. So, maybe sometime relatively soon for Kingham if someone gets hurt, but I don't think there is a strict plan where if he was a top prospect, the same way Gerrit Cole was, where he's like, all right, June 1st, after that Super 2 date, we're going to bring him up. He's pitching well enough to be in the major leagues. I just don't think there's a spot really for him right now.
Yeah, you know, I'll just add on briefly to this. He's pitching so well right now, so you kind of feel bad watching him stuck down there in AAA. I don't think his pitch selection kind of lends himself to a bullpen arm, so he can't really help there. And you said it, with Musgrove rehabbing, there really is just no spot for him in the foreseeable future. Now, if things absolutely go south for this club, maybe they want to send Devon Nova out on a deal. Maybe a window opens up, but I still don't think it's likely. So, Alex, what's our next question?
Well, this one's from you. It's from Dave G. How long until Message takes over for Searidge, and will Ray move to a Benedict-type role?
Well, you know, we actually have another question about Message. It's going to be more up your alley, but Listen, Justin Message is getting rave reviews in the Pirates system as a fresh voice. Not that Ray Searage's message is necessarily gone stale with the club or with his crew, you know, but you always want to bring in a fresh blood, a fresh voice when you can to kind of liven things up and keep things moving. And what's nice about Message being in tow is that he worked with these young pitchers. He worked with Tyler Glass now and Jameson Taillon in particular, and Chad Kuhl for that matter. So in that it's kind of like echoes what the Pirates are doing with their minor league system, where when they move up a major league ready prospect like Mitch Keller, very highly esteemed prospect, they'll often bring their manager that they had in the developmental years up to the next level. You're seeing that in Double A with Mike Ryan this year. So I think to get back to the question about how long until he takes over, I don't see it happening within. And correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, but I think Searage has 2 more years left on his extension, or is it just 1 more year after this one?
I'm actually Googling it right now.
Okay.
So keep rambling on, and then I'll just correct you.
Okay. The best thing about Ray Searage is his finely tuned goatee. You know, this is me trying to kill some time and trying.
Okay. It's through the 2019 season.
Okay. So there is a natural time frame there. I obviously don't see it happening any time before that. And will Ray move into a Benedict type role? Yes, I do. I can see that. And he can kind of oversee the entire system, from drafting the guys to developing them in the lower minors and bringing them up through. But not a minute before that contract is over, I really don't see that.
I've got other things to say about Message, but I got a tip on what my question will be, and I don't think I want to double up anything I want to say, so I'll just move on to the next one for you.
Right.
It's from Matt M., and it's thoughts on when Kramer and Newman will be in the Berg.
So this is like the question that everyone is, you know, it's like, okay, when it comes to talking about prospects, there's 4 things people love to talk about. And it seems like these are the 4 topics, and then they're Mitch Keller, Newman and Kramer, and Nick Kingham. So yeah, let's talk about it. Look, they're playing well in AAA. I don't have the stats in front of me, but Kevin Newman in particular is showing like he's really starting to put a couple things together, stringing along a string of good games, because last year in AA, I saw him quite a bit doing my Altoona curve coverage before he moved up to Indy towards the end of the year, or the last third of the year anyway. And he would have a great game. He would have a good game. Always solid defensively, but couldn't quite get that consistency that you look for. And it's not that someone has to come out and dominate a level as they're going through the system, but you like to see them adjust a little quicker rather than later. And Newman started to do that towards the end of last year, and this year he's really just been a solid player. So I think of the two, I think Newman may be a midseason call-up this year for injury, of course, or just ineffectiveness if I hate to say this, but if Max Moroff doesn't produce, maybe they'll take a role with Newman there.
Unthinkable.
But you know, again, same thing as Kingham. There's not really a spot for him right now, for either of them right now. Again, if the Pirates go south towards the middle of the season, Jordy Mercer is obviously in play. That could open a spot for him. But I think September, you will see both of them. They could be the obligatory September call-ups to get 10 at-bats maybe. But before that, barring an injury or trade, not very likely.
Kramer's taken a step back, but he's making the jump from AA, where he didn't even get a whole season at AA last year. He had an injury at the tail end. He started off in A-ball, so he didn't even have a full season there. Now he's in AAA. A little slow start, but the strong spring training is what everyone has him on their radar for. So still going to take some time. I don't expect him at all this year. I think something would have to go fairly wrong for him to see any major league playing time. And Newman, I'm more concerned about, because it seems like he's really hit a wall ever since he got to AA. I have a different assessment than you do, apparently. AA is that time where I start to really pay attention to statistics. It's not, okay, he just hit the ball hard. Who cares if it was at, you know, an outfielder or an infielder? He hasn't hit particularly well, and I'm starting to wonder if he might have been bit by the Alan Hansen bug a little bit. So I don't think there are really any plans for him, barring any injury, to make it to the majors this year. But, I mean, he obviously could put it around, but I'm concerned enough to throw Alan Hansen's name as a somewhat comparable situation.
That's a hell of a comp.
That's a bad comp, yes, but
it is very bad. But I will say this, just to defend myself a little bit. Looking at his game logs now, he being Kevin Newman, and yeah, he's batting .226 right now. Just on base, just completely not worth even mentioning at .241. But he just had a two-hit game, and he's only gone hitless looking here about four of his 13 games. So he's been a little bit up and down. But I see the two-hit games, a couple of two-for-fives there, a two-for-three game there. Not really striking out much at all. So defending myself a little bit, I kind of see those kind of indicators more than the actual stats. This is where I'll throw a plug out for a good friend of ours, Kevin Cray, who keep your eye on Fangraphs coming up because he's developed a good method of scouting prospects by their stat lines, which is what we need right now, really, with Newman and Kramer. So that's going to be going live on Fangraphs pretty soon, so please keep an eye out for that. Okay, so we're going to go on with our mailbag here, and this one is from Will H. for Alex. And here we go. Who would you like to see get most of the starts while Harrison is out? Alex, go right ahead and tell us about Max Moroff.
Yeah, Max Moroff is my guy. I've been very high on the kid for the last couple years. Great blend of extra base power, good batting eye, plus defender at second base. Can play shortstop or third fairly well if needed. I'm really high on the guy. I feel like it's getting borderline obsessive for how often I try to insert him into conversation. Like, he could be a starting second baseman for a lot of teams right now if, they're trying to rebuild, see what they got. So I would like to see him get some starts. I don't think he will, if the last week or so has been any indication, where the only start he has had is Frazier and Sean Rodriguez, who appear to be the real incumbents for second base right now, are in the outfield that day. It was a Sunday lineup, and he just needed to be somewhere. So I would like to see him get more playing time, especially for no other reason than he's in the majors. You're going to just stunt his development if he's going to sit on the bench. If it's not him, I would probably give it to Sean Rodriguez because he has looked pretty good as a starter. In 2016, after that year, he definitely deserved to start. And if he had not been in that car accident, he probably would be a starter right now in Atlanta rather than them trying to rush Jose Bautista to play third base. So I think he deserves another chance starting, and this might be another good opportunity. I would have no quarrel with that. We know what we have, what the Pirates have in Adam Frazier. Yeah. At this point, I mean, he's jack of all trade, master of none.
Just to underscore your point, in September of last season, Moroff got 19 games when Harrison got hurt, 13 starts, 59 plate appearances, slashed .260, on base at .373, and a slugging of .420 for .793 OPS. Struck out 19 times, but also walked 9 times, 1 home run, 12 RBIs, 3 doubles. I'm with you. I mean, and let's be clear, when you say who should start at second base, I don't think we're necessarily saying who should be leadoff. No,
that's a different conversation.
Yes, it is. But I'm with you. I'm kind of flabbergasted about it because his defense is obviously good enough. His offense, and he's given regular playing time, is shown to be good enough. And we're talking about the 2015 Pirates Minor League Player of the Year. So it's not like he has no pedigree as well. So I'm kind of perplexed by it just as much as you are, and it gets a little frustrating if you keep asking about when's Moroff going to get the chance. But maybe when Clint Hurdle's finally ready to mix things around a little bit, maybe part of that will be putting Moroff in. We'll have to wait and see.
And I will say, so far, Pirates are undefeated whenever he starts. A whopping 1-0. Stole that one from our Buccos, where Moroff is basically their messiah. So, Jason, speaking with the young kids from the farm system, multiple people want to know, when does Cervelli finally split time with Diaz?
I think it's coming. I think you can't ignore what Diaz has done, and albeit a very small sample size. We heard going into the season that Cervelli's goal was to catch something like, 130 games or something like that. It was a stated goal. Now that the first month of the season is over and there's going to be a little bit less off days as the season goes on, I think you're going to obviously see Diaz more and more. showing a little bit of a power stroke. Two home runs, and that's it. No doubles yet. But is having a patient eye at the plate. So, and obviously this all comes with a short sample size. There's just 23 plate appearances. So you kind of wonder if his slash line last year in 200 plate appearances of 223, 265, 314, which is horrendous, is more in line of what he actually is, or is it more of what we're seeing this year? Of course, the truth is going to be in the middle. But I think the sooner, or the I should say, the more that Diaz can put some of this good offense performance on tape, quote-unquote, the quicker Clint Hurdle will feel more comfortable giving him regular playing time. But I really think that's coming regardless now with less off days.
What I would like, actually, is back in 2016, whenever the Pirates signed David Freese, the thought was he was going to platoon later in the year with John Jaso once Gunn got healthy. And early in the season, whenever they faced a lefty, they bounced Cervelli out to first base and had Chris Stewart catch. And I think that would be an interesting compromise right now, especially with Harrison out, so you don't have a natural first baseman to sit Bell during platoon days, which they don't want him to be a platoon, but if he is going to have any off days, you would like him to be at first base. So I think bouncing Cervelli out to first base, he looked fairly natural out there. He didn't look like a slouch.
No,
that'd be a good way to get Diaz some extra at-bats. I don't want to take Cervelli's bat out of the lineup right now. I mean, he's so hot, and obviously he needs to have, you know, days off. But I don't want to have him sit more than he has to. For Diaz, who is off to a very good hot start, but I don't view him as a catcher of the future. But give him a quick way, nice, easy solution I see, to give him some extra at-bats, give Cervelli less innings to squat behind home plate would be that. That'd be about five or so starts, bonus starts right there.
I can see that. I think it's going to take a little bit of creativity from Hurdle to do something like that. And last year...
Oh, he did it back in 2016.
Yeah, and I don't want to say Cervelli took to it like a fish to water, but let's say he took to it like a fish to a pond or something like that. It was not... I didn't notice anything that gave me pause about doing that, so... You know, it all comes back down to how creative Hurdle likes to get, and we know that's not necessarily the most creative manager in the world. But Dave G wants to ask you, Alex, how are the younger pitchers reacting to having message up in Pittsburgh this year? So a follow-up on message, but you actually wrote a pretty good piece for PiratesBreakdown.com around Pirates Fest time about the youngsters really taking to him. So what have you learned from that so far this year, if anything?
Well, I will admit I haven't flat out asked any of the pitchers this year what his message, you know, what his presence has meant for the team this year compared to not having him last year. But back during spring training or Pirate Fest, they were very excited, especially Stephen Brault, because Message is the type of guy who would actually get in the pitcher's face if something's going wrong, where Ray Searage, you know, he has the nickname Uncle Ray. He rarely goes out to the mound to chew someone out.
He's the warm and fuzzies.
Yes, he's the warm and fuzzies with that great goatee that you were talking about during the time we had to kill earlier on. So I think the best way to see Message's impact would be look at how the young pitchers have pitched so far. Tyon is off to a good start. So is... Chad Kuhl and Stephen Brault to a lesser extent. Trevor Williams is walking on shattered glass, it feels like, for half of his outings. He'll walk five or six guys, but then he leaves with one earned run. I think as a whole, they're doing better, so I don't know how much of that you can credit to Message, but I think at least a portion of it should go to him.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to hear what you come back with when you start to ask these guys as the season wears on.
I have a feeling this is going to be something I'm going to write about relatively soon. So thank you, Dave G. I think I'm going to rip you off here.
Good, good.
All right. From Dave G to Tim S for Jason. Who do the Pirates need to break out of their slump more quickly, Bell or Dickerson?
Well, that's a very good question, and I guess the answer would come down to how you feel about lineup construction and how much of a traditionalist you are in that. I think we can all agree that these are the two best Pirates hitters overall. Apologies to starting Marte right now, but so the answer is either one will do. But you know, I wrote a piece today on PiratesBreakdown.com about some indicators that kind of point to the fact that perhaps the slump that the Pirates offense has gone through over the past week may not be that lasting. And there's a lot of stuff in there, but just to summarize it, both Dickerson and Bell are penalized between xWOBA, expected weighted on base average, and regular weighted on base average, suggesting they're both a little unlucky, but they're also earning that bad luck by hitting the ball. For Josh Bell over this past week, he's hit the ball about 4 miles per hour in exit velocity off his bat, lower than he has before this bad stretch. And Corey Dickerson has hit the ball just 82.5 miles per hour on his batted balls, which is about 6.5 miles less than he had been hitting before. So, long story short, I think the quicker that one of them can find a way to getting more good contact, the quicker they'll get out of the slump. But to more answer your question, I would probably say Dickerson because of just the way he was hitting earlier in the year. If they can get back to that, I think it's pretty transformative for this offense. And he, along with Colin Moran towards the bottom or the bottom third of the lineup, really lengthen it. Josh Bell is going to hit a fourth no matter what, and he's earned that right. And you know, perhaps, you know, obviously they need him to get going as well. But Dickerson provides that little extra oomph batting behind him, shortly behind him. So I'd like to see Dickerson get there quicker than Bell. But both would be fine. The Pirates would definitely take either.
Yeah, I'll agree with the both, but I guess just for the sake of argument, I'll argue Bell out of the two. I mean, 175 isolated power was his Zips projection. It's 120 right now. So he's not exactly ripping extra bases at the moment. He can. He can be this 30 home run, 100 RBI behemoth of a first baseman. You know, one of the best top 10, arguably, in baseball if he puts it all together. But I see so many things with his mechanics and his swing and this giant leg kick he's got right now that just drive me crazy. And I guess the thing about Josh Bell is he changes his batting stance, you know, three times a week or however many once. It's like mm-hmm. The weather in Pittsburgh, don't like it, wait 3 at-bats, he'll change it. So I think he probably means a little more to this offense. Corey Dickerson is just, we could call break it out of a slump, but he's basically at the mercy of the batted ball play gods. I mean, he has to give the right tribute to them, for lack of a better word. Just, he's going to have days where he's going to put the ball in play and it's going to drop for 4 hits, and another day when it drops for nothing. He doesn't swing at the best pitches. That's the curse of being a bad ball batter, and whenever you put those bad balls in play, it'll just break his way eventually through sheer probability. Bell, I'm more concerned about, so I'm going to say him breaking out of his slump is more important.
You make some good points, but I don't want to take too much of a sidebar here because I love the debate BABIP. I really do. For me, I like to look at hard hit rate as well, right along with BABIP, to kind of tell if it's earned. And just to button it up.
Not everyone's going to have a 300 batted ball in play eventually. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. But just to put a real quick button on this, one of the things I found this morning when I was going through this piece is that over this bad stretch, I'm talking about the last week, 7 days, the Pirates had the second worst team BABIP in baseball, the .253, but they sported the lowest hard hit percentage in all of baseball with an 18.9% rate over that span. And the next lowest team's hard hit rate was 25.8%. So we're talking about, you know, a solid 7% difference between the next worst team, which means it's such a funk. So, you know, enough said about that. Maybe we'll save that conversation for another day. But let's get to our last question here. And this is a pretty good one for you, Alex. Pete F. wants to ask, who leaves this rotation next year or sooner when hopefully someone either comes up, and he mentions Kingham, of course, or Mitch Keller, or if someone pitches better like Glasnow or Musgrove. So if any of those scenarios happened, who would be the one to leave the rotation, Chad Kuhl or Trevor Williams?
Well, if someone was to leave the rotation, I would think it'd be Ivan Nova, because starting pitching is always at a premium at the trade deadline. I think he could be an interesting piece for a trade ship next offseason as a consolation prize if someone doesn't get a top-of-the-line starter in that giant free agency class. So I would say Nova would be the most likely guy. But out of Cole or Williams, to actually answer the question, it's tough. I mean, both of them have such good profiles as starters and also as relief pitchers. I know that's been a very popular theory for Chad Cole for a while, but Trevor Williams has the sinker-slider combo that would make him a good ground ball Jared Hughes type. Now, obviously, Trevor Williams has pitched very well as a starting pitcher, so you don't want him just to be a Jared Hughes. You want him to be a major league starter who's probably about a number 3 or 4 right about now. Chad Cole, he's a stuff guy, and it just hasn't really panned out yet. I think that's part of the Pirates' problem with ideology. I mean, it's pretty common opinion now that if Chad Cole threw more breaking stuff, he would be a better pitcher. Everyone's worrying about that nowadays, it seems like. So if Glasnow or Musgrove demand a spot in the rotation, or Brault, we could throw that into the mix, or if Kingham just Pirates can't refuse to keep him in the minor leagues that much longer, maybe the Pirates entertain a 6-man rotation for a little bit for a longer stretch, but that'd be such a band-aid of a situation. I don't think that's a long-term situation. I'm waiting to see if someone gets hurt right now. But if it really comes down to Cole or Williams, I would think Williams has the edge over Chad Cole for no other reason than Williams is posting better results, even though I think Chad Cole has better stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I don't have too much to add, but I will add this. So a lot's been made about Trevor Williams, and we talked to Matthew Trueblood of Baseball Prospectus, who kind of talked along the same lines, that Williams is just seeming, and this is a very basic statement to say, but I think he's taken to learning how to pitch better. And the fact that he utilizes that changeup with ill regard to if he's throwing it to the same side hitter or the left-hand hitter or whoever, he's throwing it effectively and getting weak contact on it. That, to me, because that's such a feel pitch, that tells me that he's really starting to learn the craft of pitching in his second full year in a rotation. And that fact alone makes me realize that he might realize his ceiling much quicker than Cool will. And that's why I would give Williams the edge to stay in the rotation. So, I think that's going to do it for our rainy day mailbag here on Locked On Pirates. So, I want to tell you guys that we are a daily podcast, and we aim to be with you throughout the entire season. So, please, if you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your shows. Tell a friend, leave a review. It all helps us quite a bit, and we love to grow with you throughout the season. So, Alex, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Alex J. Stumpf, STUMPF.
All right, you can find us on Locked On Pirates. And that's it for tonight. And we'll be back with you tomorrow for another edition of this podcast. And thanks for listening.